I negate the chaos, uplift the negative. I'll show up at the table again and again and again. I'll close my mouth and learn to listen. These times are poignant, the winds have shifted. It's all we can do to stay uplifted. Pipelines through backyards, wolves howling out front. Yeah, I got my crew, but truth is what I want. Realigned and on point, power to the peaceful. Prayers to the waters, women at the center. All vessels open to give and receive. Let's see the system brought down to its knees. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Appalachia. This is the Peace and Justice Program, and I'm very pleased to be with you today. My name is Chris, and I'm a rotating host every Friday from 11:30 to 1. One of us will be here spreading the news about what's going on in our country and in our community. And I just wanted to use that song, Resilience, as kind of a kickoff of this pledge drive for me. In human systems, resilience is tied to an individual's social connections and their willingness to support and be supported by others. In a society that often lifts up rugged individualism as the pinnacle of success, it might seem counterintuitive to deepen social networks in order to strengthen our chances of individual resilience. But that's exactly what we need right now. More connection, more care for one another, more care for the earth and life. When we gather and connect with others, we honor our own spirits and those of our community, building on each other's knowledge and energy. We heal. We get stronger. We expand our understanding. We become more resilient and able to recover from setbacks. This has been a devastating and difficult year. We now have the opportunity to slowly get our lives back, and for some to rise out of poverty. We at KZFR salute your resilience and honor what struggles you have been through. We hope you can be generous to us during this last day of pledge drive as you anticipate the windfall checks, the $1,400 checks I think most of our listeners will be getting. Please call us at 601-340-KZFR or, more easier, go to the website kzfr.org to donate. And speaking of resilience and a resilient human being, I have on the line with me Larry Halstead. He is a political scientist with a degree from UC Davis. He is a lifelong activist who has been especially focused on the homeless issue since losing his home in the campfire. He's a credentialed member of the media under the name Real World Media, and in that role, he's covered activism and politics as a photojournalist, investigative journalist, and as a writer. He's also an unlicensed attorney with a combined total of 15 years litigating civil rights cases. Hi, Larry, are you on the line?
Yes, I am, and let me just say that it's an honor to be here on this legendary public radio station, especially an honor to be on your show, and even more so to speak on this very critical issue. So thank you very much.
Yeah, I appreciate you a lot, and I think that your name has really been out there since you were the only person, the only unhoused person to be cited in these horrible sweeps that the police department has conducted. They tried to paint it as voluntary, that people were moving voluntarily, and you put the lie to that. Tell our listeners about what you've been going through, Larry, please.
Well, you know, there's so much that we could talk about my entire experience, which would take up way too much time, but the point that I've been going after all along is basically looking at the legal aspects of all of this, and this whole notion, you know, we got to realize this is a war on homeless, and the other side has been very due diligent in plotting this, executing the war, et cetera. And they've been winning in the court of public opinion to a big extent. They've been winning at the polls with replacing counsel, but they've been doing it with a lot of lies that really aren't true. And the biggest lie is that this is all voluntary compliance. And when you have police coming out and intimidating you in the middle of the night, like they did one night, seven officers, not part of the target team, at 4 a.m. yelling and screaming, you know, they've been doing this sort of Nazi-like tactics all along, and it's time that we push back. And so, you know, I was not going to go quietly on these eviction notices. I was served two of them, one of them by Sergeant Sandoval and the next by Rotto. And when it came day that they were going to clear me out, I had a lot of wonderful helpers out there, and we downsized down to just my tent and a sleeping bag, a few things. And what happened was that 2 days later, they actually came and cleared it when I was away from the camp. So following that, almost a week later, I ended up at Boucher. I've been assisting Attorney Kelly Johnson in going to the camps and helping them, getting ready to the moves and helping them move, et cetera. So we were at Boucher the day before they cleared, and I took possession of a tent there that someone had abandoned. And so the next day, when they were clearing Boucher, it ended up being me as the very last guy there with the tent, and Sergeant Rotto was interacting with me throughout the whole process. And finally, he came up and gave me a citation. A lot of interesting details about that. But the point that I've been trying to make and to take to the courts is that this is not voluntary compliance. And a much bigger point that we're going after here is that even though they're trying to skirt around and go with the letter of the law on the Martin v. Boise, the fact is they are not at all complying with the Martin v. Boise. And for those that may not know about this, it's a Ninth Circuit court ruling that says that you cannot arrest people for being in public places. Unless you have an alternative place for them to go. And so they've been trying to, you know, thread the needle through some kind of little loopholes and figure it out. And what they came up with was this emergency ordinance, which took all of the park regulations and put them into the municipal code as misdemeanors and felonies. And that alone was a criminalization of homeless people, but it was something that did not need to happen, and it certainly didn't need to happen as an emergency ordinance. And so one of the other aspects is, this is an important part of it, is that this item came up as emergency ordinance for three times leading up to our last election night. And last election night was the night that that it was last on the agenda before the city council continued it one more time. But I put my name not only on this emergency ordinance agenda three times to speak on it, three times it was continued, but I was also putting my name to speak on the increased funding for the police when we have a bloated police budget. So, you know, what this issue gets into is that what they did was they kept continuing it until they continued it such a time that they could take Randall Stone and Mayor Schwab off the council And then it was the first two things that the new council, this conservative council that was put in there by these developer PACs, forming Safe Chico, et cetera, a lot of outside money went into that. They need to, they put that through as an emergency ordinance. And here's the point on it. It absolutely did not need to be an emergency ordinance. By doing an emergency ordinance, they were able to make it effective immediately. Had they done a regular city ordinance, it would have required a second reading. It would have been a combined total of about 45 days before it would have become law. Well, it's been more than 45 days, and there's absolutely nothing that they've demonstrated in this period of time since they enacted it as an emergency ordinance that could show that there was any emergency whatsoever, except for their failure to respond to the homeless crisis.
Right. Let me stop you, Larry.
Sure.
You know, you have given a really good background to this, and there's going to be a rally at 5 o'clock at the City Council, before the City Council meeting this coming Tuesday night, and it's called Rally for Humanity, and that's a good place for people who are not up to speed on this to learn more. And I completely support you, and I was wondering if you could tell our listeners when your court date is and how they could support you and other unhoused people at this point.
Well, my citation was on February 16. My court date is on April 23. It's I've been charged with 9.50.30B, camping in a regulated area. And I will be pleading not guilty and going after discovery and asking for a jury trial, etc. So I'm prepared to move forward on that front. But, you know, in terms of your question about how people can support me and about this rally that we're having next Tuesday, the biggest way people that are starting to become more and more aware of the criticalness of this issue and whatnot, you got to get informed. And so coming to that rally, it's going to be a forum where we have lots of speakers and people breaking down the issue from a lot of different angles. And that being informed is the number one thing. And in that light, what I want to say about it is that that's the importance of a free press and the importance of this radio station. You know, as Nelson Mandela says, a free press is one of the pillars of democracy. You know, it was Thomas Jefferson said that where the press is free and every man able to read, all is safe.
Yeah.
You know, so the role of this station and what it's been doing for years now is absolutely phenomenal. I just want to take a little moment out of this segment to encourage people during this pledge drive here, even if it's only $5 a month, that's $60 a year. It's important the amount, but it's even more important the numbers of people. And that's why Bernie Sanders' campaign was so effective in getting people to donate $27.50. So I just want to say, if you're a Bernie Sanders supporter and you're willing to contribute and able to contribute, I'd suggest that all the Bernie people contribute $27.50 a month at least and to keep that going. But I really appreciate the role of this station and all the advocates that are out there doing these forums and putting on demonstrations, et cetera. It's how we get the word out, and it's how we fight from a media standpoint.
Thank you, Larry Halstead, for being with me today on the Peace and Justice Program. And I want to urge people to support. You didn't even mention the fact that you're fighting with late-stage cancer, and people need to get this together. And thank you so much, Larry Halstead, for being with me today as a guest on the Peace and Justice Program. Take care, please.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye now.
All right. So I'd like to get on to our next guest. This is going to be a really fast-paced show. Let's have a little Phil Oakes in between. Here we go.
What's that I hear now ringing in my ears? I've heard that sound before. What's that I hear now ringing in my ears? I hear it more and more. It's the sound of freedom calling, ringing up to the skies. sound of the old ways of falling. You can hear it if you try. You can hear it if you try. Oh, what's that I see now shining in my eyes? I've seen that light before. Hey, what's that I see now shining in my eyes? I see it more and more. It's the light of freedom calling, shining up to the skies. It's the light of the old ways of falling. You can see it if you try.
You can see it if you try, and you also have to make it happen. It doesn't happen on its own. And one of the things I can urge you to do at this time while you're thinking about it, while you're with me, is go to your computer and click on donate at the kzfr.org website. And we would very, very much appreciate your support today on our last day of the pledge drive. And you can also, if you'd like to, call the station 601-340-KZFR. I have on the line with me Mercedes Macias. She is a local community volunteer and longtime in-home support services caregiver. She has studied sociology at CSU Chico with an emphasis on ethics, justice, and policy. Her passion is exploring the unlimited confines of intersectionality from an interdisciplinary vantage point. Before COVID times, she could often be seen around the North State singing with her bandmates in the local 60s cover band Channel 66, ballroom dancing as often as possible, and occasionally dabbling in musical theater. For the last 3 years, she has served on KZFR's board of directors, and she currently serves as our elected president. Welcome, Mercedes.
Thank you, Chris. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, I so appreciate our board of directors. It is a volunteer position, and you do such a great job of running our board meetings. These are all public meetings. They are posted on that KZFR website that I've been trying to drum into people to go to donate on, and people can read notes from past meetings, and they can be involved, and they can participate in current meetings. So KZFR is a community radio station. And I know there's been a lot of stresses due to COVID in terms of our income and our ability to fundraise, our ability to have guests in the studio, do on-site training, and figure out how to keep all 80 of us volunteers safe. Do you want to say anything about that?
Absolutely. You know, COVID has hit so many people in different ways, especially nonprofits that are run by volunteers that have often had other jobs that supply their income. And in that, it's really, really important to remember what your purpose is. So there's been many, many times, like Larry Howell said, with his experience with the campfire and being homeless, where folks find themselves in desperate situations and have to make some different choices. But remembering your purpose, why are you here? What are you actually doing and why are you doing it? That's really important for KZFR and for everybody, and we've been focusing on that. And that's why it's so important that we get this generator so we're able to be independent with everything that's going on with the fire and losing power downtown. Every time that power went out, I heard the DCBA's generator kick in. And we want that for KZFR too. So I'm very hopeful, losing my words, that we will raise enough community support to power this effort for many years to come.
Yeah, so we have our regular expenses plus this important goal of meeting climate crisis with the ability to stay on the air when the power goes down in downtown Chico, where our studio is located. And so we need our listeners to help us. We don't have any huge funders. We don't, you know, we're not able to do our fundraisers the way we used to. So we need you who are listening, to use some of your stimulus check and help us out at this time. And I'd love you to do it during Peace and Social Justice, because this is a public affairs program. It's the last one of the pledge drive. But if you'd rather give during your favorite music shows today, that's fine, too. Just it's all in the same pot. Please donate to KZFR if you could. And I was wondering, why do you feel that
public affairs is crucial to this radio station, Mercedes Mercedes?
Oh, thanks for asking. Well, you know, Larry really did hit it on the head with his quote earlier from Nelson Mandela. And I feel that you don't know what you don't know. A dear friend of mine said that a couple of years ago, and I still repeat it. You can't make informed decisions for your own life or for your family or for your community or your roommates if you don't live with your family. You can't do those things if you don't know the facts. And I think that's very evident in our national politics. It's also evident right here in our community that rumor mills get spread about stuff because people don't really know all the facts. I think on the issue of homelessness, though, the topic that Larry was just talking about, the facts are known. There have been so many studies, and more studies aren't needed. We know that human suffering is human suffering, and there is a right to human dignity and housing and all these things. So if we have the facts, it's important that we have public affairs programming in order to remind people of what those established facts are so that people can make informed decisions in their own life.
And thank you for that. I'm going to have some programmers and former programmer on in a few minutes, but you know, before I let you go, I have not been doing a good job this Women's History Month in talking about the role of women and the importance of International Women's Day, you know, the huge importance of this has just kind of flashed by, and I'd like you to make a statement about, you know, what it means to you and what you were doing on International Women's Day.
Oh, yes. Okay. Well, International Women's Day was Monday, I believe, and I was actually taking a call from a very, very close friend of mine who's been married for about 20 years to a man, and she was saying, oh, I'm walking outside because I don't feel comfortable talking on the phone inside. And I said, happy International Women's Day, because you know, and we both laughed, but it was one of those hysterical laughs of when are women going to feel safe having true friendships all across the board in the mainstream? When are we going to feel empowered in the boardroom or all these different places where folks are trying to, or not trying to, but there's been this historical repression of our needs as human beings. And so for other female-identified people, I know that there's probably some folks who can relate to this reality of what it means to be a woman today in 2021 and what it has historically meant to be the person who often carries that mental load, the mental labor, emotional labor of knowing what has to be done and getting it done while still trying to meet your own needs behind closed doors. So that was what I was doing on International Women's Day that really stuck out with me. And Women's History Month is an interesting thing as well because there's a highlight of highlighting female-identified people, and that is wonderful, but it also shines a light on the disparity of conversation and awareness throughout most of the rest of the year in this country. And I would love for that awareness to continue to spread. I'm seeing more and more memes on social media that I can relate to as a woman, as a female-identified person. And I do think that the tides are changing of awareness, and there's still a lot more work to be done.
Yeah, I appreciate what you're saying. And I do want to let people know, too, just a little announcement here, that March is Trans Month also, and StonewallChico.org is doing a number of events, and their big fair and fundraisers on March 27th. So go to their website and check that out, too, because when you say, you know, about identity, I know this is a really important point for you. I think it's become somewhat more complex in terms of gender identity in these last years as we've grown as people. But we need to wrap up. Can you give a really quick shout out for KZFR, Mercedes?
Yes, I can. And right before I say that, I want to say trans women are women. And
that's right.
I know that some people think that's controversial. I'm sorry. Science has determined that it is not. So I'm glad that you told me it's Trans Awareness Month. I did not know that, or Trans History Month. KZFR is important. It is independent. It does not take money from super PACs for all of this. We get our money from you, our listeners, and from the federal government determining that we are a nonprofit worthy of giving money to because of the public service that we provide for our communities. So if you are passionate about keeping KZFR independent, please give us a monthly donation if you can. It can be as great as $5 or as great as $5,000. It's up to you, whatever you decide. Thank you so much for your support, and we hope to stay on the air for another 30 years.
Mm. Thank you so much, Mercedes. Thank you for being president of our board. I honor you so deeply. Thank you. Take care.
Thank you, Chris.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
All right. So this is the Peace and Justice Program, and you are here at KZFR. And I wanted to thank another subset of people, and that is our underwriters. They keep us going throughout the year. They have been our rock during COVID times, and some of them haven't been doing that well, so we urge you to support them also, just as you are supporting KZFR today. And I want to thank, first of all, Chico Natural Foods Cooperative, offering a variety of organic and local produce, organic groceries, and supplements. The co-op has hot food, ready-to-eat sandwiches, and cold brew coffee. The co-op now accepts online orders for curbside pickup. Chico Natural Foods Co-op is open every day on the corner of 8th and Main in downtown Chico. Also, Chico Velo, supporting bicycling, education, and advocacy since 1980. Chico Velo encourages you to ride your bicycle and park it safely at their bike valet when available at either the Thursday night market, which I hope will come back next summer, and the Saturday farmers market. For more information, visit chicovelo.org and find them on Facebook. Also want to thank Farmstar Pizza, where the farmer is the star. Farmstar features artisan pizzas, salads, appetizers, and desserts. They have vegan and gluten-free offerings, craft beer, and eclectic wines. Farmstar Pizza is open 7 days a week for to-go lunch and dinner orders. Find Farmstar Pizza at 2359, the Esplanade at farmstarpizza.com, and on Facebook. The phone number to order is 343-2056. And lastly, the wonderful Sierra Nevada Brewing Company, family owned, operated, and argued over since 1980, reminding listeners to think for themselves but drink with others. So have just a second here. I just want to do one more little push on a pledge drive. You know, President Biden has signed this $1.9 trillion coronavirus relief plan. The plan, which passed without any Republican votes, will send direct payments of up to $1,400 to many, many, many Americans, millions of us, expand a child tax credit that will really help parents, and extend a $300 weekly unemployment supplement. The checks will start to go out this weekend, from what I understand. And since this has been such a rough year for everyone, and also here at KZFR, we could really use your support right now to get out of the red and to purchase that backup generator that we were talking about, so that we have emergency preparedness this summer in the face of climate crisis and those electrical blackouts, which we really have been experiencing more and more. I'm asking you to call or donate now. This is the last day of the pledge drive. I know it's our timing was impeccably bad. If we'd done it next week, we might have done really a lot better. But if you would rather pledge later today, that is, on any of your Friday music shows, that's okay too, because it's the same pot of money. The same, we're all together on this. We all need KZFR to go along. Of course, I would like you to support public affairs programming, but that's okay. Whatever works for you. The reason to give now is because we're in pledge drive and you probably won't be thinking about it unless somebody's haranguing you. So excuse me for being so pushy, but please go to kzfr.org or call us here at the station at 601-340-KZFR. And this is FM 90.1 KZFR Community. This is FM 90.1 KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills,
and beyond. It is noon, and I'm going to go on to our next guest, and let's have some Buffy St. Marie. She just turned 80. She is an incredible, incredible person, and this is from her Best Of album. Here you go.
It's time to open your eyes, take a look outside and all around, to north and south and up and down. The weather is right, the time is here, there'll never be a better year for brotherhood to take its root, to bloom, its blossom and sprout, its shoot. Open, open up your eyes, it's time to find the place to hoe, to find the place to plant your row, where the seeds of love can grow and grow. Your heart's the perfect spot, you know. It's time to clean your garden plot of sticks and stones and other old rot. Time to plant a brand new world where promises keep and paths unfurl. To young and old, to boy and girl, to rich and poor, to woman and man, to black and white and gold and tan, to big and little and fast and slow. See how brotherhood can grow. Let the sun shine in your face to everyone of every race.
Pure sweetness, hey? Okay, so this is Chris, the Peace and Justice Program. I want to just let you know that next week, Jesse Kearns will be your host. And we do have rotating hosts, as I've mentioned to you before. And I wanted to just tell you who Jesse's going to have on with him next week. He will be having a conversation with Stephen Marquardt about the value of town hall meetings as a way to achieve meaningful change in local government. He'll have an interview with Angela McLaughlin with Stand Up Chico about the importance of effective messaging to change a community's narrative, and a feature with Guillermo Mash about Source to Sea, an environmentally educational journey down the Sacramento River. So I didn't reach my guest, but I am going to give you another little musical interlude so I can try again. And this next one is just a quick one from Bruce Cockburn, and it's a... I just thought it was apropos, so you'll see. Here we go.
Paradise and tattoos done while you wait. Possible futures all laid out on the sweeping curve of the interstate. On the sweeping curve of the interstate. Got no city, got no land, got no lover, got no wife. How many ways to say goodbye? Can one man fit in a nomad life? Can one man fit in a
Okay, that was my little humor there. Life short, call now. That's for the pledge drive. And so I have on the line with me a voice that you may know well if you're a regular KZFR listener. Sue Hildebrand teaches political science at CSUC and Butte College and is the host of The Real Issue at 6 p.m. Wednesdays and The Butte Report at 5 p.m. Thursdays.
She was already digging in deep on local politics for The Real Issue when she went on sabbatical to run for Butte County Supervisor last year. Prior to that, Sue Hildebrand produced American Totem, a film which explores Americans' emotional connection to firearms and the power of these objects to create and destroy communities. So, Sue Hildebrand, a welcome to Peace and Justice.
Thank you. It's really an honor to be here.
Yeah, you're not used to daytime. You're used to the late afternoon programming. You know.
That's right, and I'm used to being the question asker.
That's right, you are. And you do a great job of it. I think all of our listeners would agree that you are just a star in our heaven. You know, you've been producing a one-hour public affairs program for quite a long time, The Real Issue on Wednesday nights, but now you're doing this Butte report, which I just find so critical about, you know, updates about city council meetings, board of supervisors meetings, various commissions and boards. Talk about the challenges of public affairs radio, the way you do it, and the news.
Oh, well, I had no idea that it would take so much time. I really didn't. But I have to say, it's just like what we all do at KZFR, is that we believe in what we're doing, whether it's news and public affairs or really good music. I believe in it. And, you know, I was talking with Ray Lager when we were on the campaign trail, and we realized that that most people just, you know, don't sit through all those board of supervisors meetings because they can be very boring and very long. And so a lot of folks, although we want to know what's going on, it's hard to find that information. And so Ray Lager and I talked about, wouldn't it be great if we had a program that focused very exclusively on what the various levels of government are doing? And so, you know, the one thing about this pandemic is that we all get to be on Zoom. I'm trying to put a positive spin on it. But, you know, I every other Tuesday, I put on the Butte County Board of Supervisors Zoom meeting, and or I watch it on YouTube or whatever. And I kind of just have it playing. And so it's a 5-hour meeting or whatever. And you listen, and I got to pay attention to which agenda item do I want to cover this week. And things like that. And the difference is between doing public affairs on Wednesday is that we get to wander around on the topic, and I get to listen to the guest and say, oh, that was an interesting comment. Let's pursue that for a minute. Whereas news, it's like, what are the facts? Just what are they doing? And how do you take, you know, a 5-year process and turn it into a 1-minute explanation about why it's important and what they're doing right now. And so it's challenging in ways that I truly had not predicted, but it's important. Every week I have to cut some things out because I went over time. And I'm always grateful to KZFR for allowing me to learn kind of on the job. So thanks for asking about that.
Yeah, and to me, these new shows, the ones that that have come up in this last, I don't know what it is, 6 months, even having my new co-host, Corey Hemphunt, has been an amazing thing. There's been ways that people have been able to contribute on KZFR that were kind of the unknown benefits of COVID, and the board of directors rose to the occasion, and they created an off-site programmer host way of contributing to KZFR. And I just wanted to mention some of the new shows. There's the North State Give and Take, which Bobby Tryon does at 6 o'clock after Ecotopia, which is on at 5 on Tuesdays. And then after your show, the Chico News and Review has a show at 5:30, which I have found to be extremely helpful because I was one of these people that got the News and Review and oftentimes didn't read the long articles, and the long articles are the important articles.
Right.
Go ahead.
Like some of us are auditory learners, and I have to say I know that I am an auditory learner, which is why I love radio. So for me to listen to the News and Review as opposed to reading it, I just retain that information better than I do if I just straight on read it. Yeah. I appreciate all of our new shows. We're all so dedicated, and our board of directors, I think you're exactly right. Our board of directors makes decisions on how we serve our community as opposed to how do we make the most money possible. And so I think the quality and the content is just categorically different because our goals are different between independent community radio and for-profit corporate media.
Yeah, and I know that we're trying to have a balance that's 80% music, 20% public affairs or news, and so that we cater to everyone. We're trying to find that perfect sweet spot balance so that everyone kind of gets what they want out of their community radio station. But on our side of it, you know, we want to make sure that public affairs is well represented in terms of these pledge drives. And I was wondering if you could say another word or two before you leave me about why they should give on the Peace and Justice program, which has been since, you know, this show started in 1992 at the start of the Gulf War. We've had many different hosts. It's a lot of work, and it's a labor of love, and it's a way for people to learn about what's going on in our world. We have local hosts, but I mean local programs about what's going on in our community, but also what's going on in our world, you know?
Yeah, and what I've told this story on probably every pledge drive is that when I was living in Phoenix, Arizona, and, you know, we had the chance to move to Chico, sight unseen, we read about it and we learned about KZFR, and we thought, now that would be fun to go. We don't know what it means because community radio is so unusual, but we thought, well, that would be fun. Okay, that's a plus for why we should move to this place we've never been to. And so there were enough good things about moving to Chico than not moving to Chico, and we said, sure, we'll give it a go. And we showed up here, and what I've learned is that KZFR is so much really the driving force. I mean, Chico's amazing. Butte County is amazing. But without KZFR, we would not have the ability to talk to each other and get out information as quickly as we can. To share music and art, yes, absolutely. But in terms of public affairs, it's really how we share information. I listen to Diane Suzuki's program on Wednesdays, and I know that she does a music program, but she comes up with the most amazing interviews. Somebody blows into town, and she finds, you know, the beauty and wisdom in that person, and she puts them on the radio. And without being able to maneuver and respond to our opportunities and threats, we wouldn't be able to get kind of that information. And I really am a real firm believer that Chico is amazing because of KZFR. Many, many, many reasons we are amazing. I'm standing on Chico State campus now. That's a vital part of our community. But without our ability to talk with each other and to share with each other and open our hearts to each other, if we didn't have KZFR, we would not be this amazing, vibrant community that we are. And so that's my pitch. I mean, we are lucky to have KZFR, and so I don't have the number in front of me. I think it's 601-340-KZFR. I hope that's correct, Chris. But I would encourage people, please. It's a jewel here in Chico to have KZFR. We are who we are as a community because of KZFR, and so I encourage everyone to call in and support Peace and Social Justice, because Chris, you carry on a long tradition of fighting the good fight and trying to make the world a better place by doing what you do every day, but also for spending so many hours every week pulling together an amazing program. And an hour and a half is a long program.
It is. And so, Sue Hildebrand, I want to thank you also for everything that you're doing. And I think I'll just take this opportunity to say, you know, there's a lot going on at Chico State. And part of this community is to let people know what's going on. And there is an artist talk by Art Hazelwood, who's worked with arts organizations, unions, and grassroots movements. Over that period, it's been consistently involved with homeless rights, including working with the Western Regional advocacy project where he's Ministry of Culture. He's going to be having an online talk, and that will be Social Commentary, Prints, and Politics on Monday the 22nd. And you can find out about this on at the News and Review to get the to get all the information on their calendar. So this is the way that we're kind of hand in gloving with other media, with other news outlets. And I'm so grateful to you and to everybody else, Sue Hildebrand, for your work. Thank you, and I'll let you go. Peace
Thank
to you.
Thank you so much, Chris, for inviting me. It's really an honor and a pleasure. Always good to talk with you.
All right. Bye bye.
Thanks. Bye bye.
All right, so I want to keep going, Chris. Come on. I want you to, if you haven't already, go to that donate button that's on the KZFR website, kzfr.org, and give as generously as you can, either a one-time only. You know, if you're already a monthly sustainer, you might want to give us a little bump since you know that you're going to get some money in the mail here soon. Or become a monthly sustainer. That helps us the most. And there's some great pledge drive gifts. Thank you gifts. Grant is out there now sending out gifts to people. He's hard at work. He's doing everything. He's the office manager. He does a he's a programmer. He does everything in the world is Grant. And so thanks to him and all the paid and staff and the volunteers that make this station so great. I want to stop talking and go to another song. And of course, you'll recognize this one if you listen to Sue ever. Here we go. This revolution has been going on, what, is it 30 years? Oh, I'm terrible with numbers, but KZFR has been here for a while, and it is the only community radio station that I know about in our listening area, so please give generously. And I have on the line with me an incredible man, Bo Grosskopf. He is a CSU Chico Professor Emeritus, I can never say that, who taught international political economy in the political science department at Chico State. His coursework included Intro to International Relations, U.S. Foreign Policy, Politics of Terrorism, Political Economy of Post-Industrial Societies, and the Status of Women in Global Patriarchy. His publications include The Newest Explosions of Terror, Latest Sites of Terrorism in the 90s and Beyond, and Strategic Terror, The Politics and Ethics of Aerial Bombardment, An Analysis of Strategic Bombing Theory, also called Shock and Awe back in the day, that focuses on the current state of the bombing nations, U.S., Britain, Israel, and Russia. He holds a Ph.D. in International Relations from the University of Massachusetts Amherst. His research is on contemporary terrorism, and we will stop now, except I want to make sure that people know you co-hosted this show for 19 years, Bo Grosskopf. And I really, really appreciate you, your political humor and analysis to inform listeners about the world we live in. Welcome back. Hi.
Hi, boy. I've been a busy boy, haven't I?
It seems so. I mean, I was stumbling over that, all those big words. Oh, my goodness. You know, Bo, I wanted to really be grateful to the domestic success of the Democratic Party and helping millions of Americans. This is a day to celebrate. But I also don't want people to just kind of go along and just pay attention to their own well-being when we have some really critical issues of empire. And we have a very brief time to talk, but I wanted you to mention what was wrong with the bombing of Syria on February 25th that the new Biden administration did without any notice to Congress.
Well, it depends on your perspective on whether it was wrong or not. Of course, the Biden administration doesn't think it was wrong at all. Some people in Congress think you need to consult the people's representatives, but they decided, as past administrations have, that's not necessary. But the bombing itself, I mean, all we have to do is take the president's words, "We're back." And what does that mean? Well, basically, that means that the what they call the soft side of foreign policy, U.S. foreign policy, is back, which means we're going to focus on negotiation, going to use the international organizations rather than bomb first or use the military first, which the other side of U.S. foreign policy people do, which was represented by the Bush administration and then the Trump administration. But, you know, the strategic interest is the same. How they go about maximizing those strategic interests differ. But in this case, the Biden administration and Joe Biden in particular, who, you know, has never seen a war he never liked. Remember, he voted for the Iraq war. Basically want to let two nations in particular, really three, Russia, Iran, and China, know that, yes, we're back. And in terms of the Middle East, we are going to resurrect and strengthen the Israeli-Saudi U.S. alliance that will dictate terms in the Middle East. And that's, of course, saying to Russia and Iran in particular, hey, whatever relationship the Trump administration and Donald Trump had with Putin or not, we don't. And we're going to dictate the terms of any kind of renegotiation with Iran in particular in the Middle East. And we've got the back of Saudi Arabia and Israel. So just taking their words alone, we know that the neocons represented in both the Trump and the Biden administration are in charge.
Right. And, you know, I was really angry and sorrowful about the Biden administration's failure to penalize the Saudi crown prince over the journalist Khashoggi's murder and the failure to hold him accountable. And it really was not very good writing on the wall for this administration.
Well, no, the United States has never held Saudi officials, the crown, you know, the monarchy, responsible. There is a thing called oil, but there is also now even more a strategic position of Saudi Arabia and its alliance with Israel, anti-Iran. So they're more important than ever. And no American president that's looking to protect U.S. strategic interests, not just in terms of the access to oil, but other people's non-access to oil, meaning China in particular, and Western Europe, we'd have to say as well.
Right.
They're not about to disrupt that relationship over some journalist.
Right. And I think the Biden administration was really surprised that Iran now is you know, upset with the United States and doesn't really want to jump back into the nuclear deal with the United States after the United States has held sanctions against the people of Iran during this horrible COVID crisis. Can you just really briefly say what the United States needs to do in order to get to some stability in the Middle East regarding this Iran-Saudi tension? I know it's 25 words or less is not a good way to approach it. But do your best, Beau Grosskopf.
Well, for the United States, you know, in relative to Iran and the larger Middle East, but in particular Iran, they're just looking for Iran to surrender. The Biden administration has said, you know, in order for us to negotiate with you again, you have to give up your blossoming nuclear program again. You have to give up your missile program, and you have to stop, as they say, meddling in the affairs of other countries in the Middle East. And basically it's saying you need to surrender. And the Iranians, rightfully so, you know, whether you like the mullahs or not, I'm not big fans, but they're saying, hey, that's not the way international politics is supposed to use. It's supposed to work, that you just push people around and say, surrender or else. And that's really what's happening. So stability in the Middle East, from the U.S. point of view, is simply doing what the architect of Middle East politics wants it to do. And that's, in this case, relative to Iran or any other power, you know, just surrender and everything will be stable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I wish we had more time to talk. You know, if it wasn't for Pledge Drive today, I would be talking about the 10th anniversary of the Fukushima disaster, because I'm worried about Biden's stand on climate change, that he wants to include nuclear power in the mix of how we're going to approach things. And I'd like to hear more from you about the risks to our world and how to move through this all, because you have such a big overview. But do you want to just say one last thing about how Americans should be looking at Biden? I mean, good, bad, what are your thoughts?
Well, I guess he's better than Trump.
That's true.
I mean, that's a given. No, you know, Joe Biden is a longtime member of this constituency knows the trilateral soft face of U.S. power, and very much just like Obama. And so, you know, the strategic interests of the United States are very clear. They're going to prevent the rise of a competing power, and they're going to try to control access and possess the strategic resources of the world. And, you know, so that's, those are the strategic interests, and that everybody agrees on within the U.S., you know, foreign policy establishment, how you go about doing that. I guess the good thing one could say is that he's sort of reluctant to use the military until a last resort. But Joe Biden has always gotten to the last resort pretty quickly in the past.
All right.
And I think, you know, we saw that, what was it, within 35 days, saying, hey, we're back, meaning we're in charge here.
Right. And they called it proportional. You know, one person was killed by, apparently by Iran, we're not even sure, and then they killed about between 13 and 20 people in a country that we're not in war with. Geez, I'm having trouble talking. But Beau Grosskopf, why do you want people to support KZFR? Last question.
Well, because I'm going to, and I do, and I have always done so. And I do so for the same reason you do, and do a wonderful job, Chris, which is that it's an alternative to, corporate media. It is a community radio station that is unique in the sense that it allows a multitude of voices and a multitude of, whether they're in music or whether they're in politics. It's the American dream, you know. So if you're interested in realizing the American dream, here's a way to do at least part of it and support the community and not just yourself.
Yeah. Thank you for that. I really appreciate that, Beau. And so our listeners, once again, I know I sound like a broken record here, but if you could go to the website, kzfr.org, you'll see the donate button there. It gives you options about how to give and thank you gifts. And if you don't want to do that, if you actually want to talk to a human being, which I don't blame you for, then you want to give us a call at 601-340-5937, and that's 601-340-KZFR. Beau Grosskopf, thank you for your work. I really, really appreciate you and all the time you gave to this station over the years. Thank you.
Well, you're the one everybody should be thanking, Chris. Come on.
All right. Peace to you, Bo. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. So I'm going to segue again. We're having six guests on in this hour and a half. So if I'm getting a little tongue-tied, please bear with me. I just am very excited about each of these human beings. They are all incredible. And let's have a little music in between while I get the next guest on the line. Here you go. Emma's Revolution. And so spare change is good, too. We'll take that. We'll take whatever you want to give us. We appreciate you. And I have on the line with me Dr. Gail Kimble. She's on the air here at KZFR on the second Thursday of the month. She was on last night from 6 to 7 p.m. with her Ask Dr. Gail show. She's the author of 22 books, including her just-published Climate Girls Saving Our World and Calm, How to Thrive in Challenging Times. Gail, you must be really proud of your work. You're such a prolific author. Tell us about these last books.
I did a book called Brave Young Women's Global Revolution about women activists around the world. Lately, I'm only doing books that are global because we live in a global society. So right now, I want to let listeners know, in case they want to be involved, I'm doing a book on happy long-term relationships. And I want to include a section on divorce, so people who are divorced could let me know what they think happened. They could just write to gkimble@csuchico.edu. But the Climate Girls book, I was curious because girls are in the forefront of the recent environmental movement, and I wanted to talk to them. So, and some of them have been on my Ask Dr. Gail radio show as well.
Hmm. And you interviewed 54 activists from 30 countries. That must have been a huge project.
Well, it's fun. I mean, I'm really motivated by curiosity, and I love asking people questions. It's like sizzles my bippy to ask people questions.
Yeah, and, you know, a long, long, long time ago, you were on my thesis committee when I was doing a women's health independent master's degree, and my topic was on fertility awareness. And I look at the range of your life work, not only being an author, but now a radio host, but the things you were talking about on your show last night about physics that were just absolutely astounding. You do a lot of energy work. And I'd like you to maybe toot your own horn a little bit more, because sometimes these shows, like the Thursday night show, you're on a rotation. You're only on once a month.
Right.
And I would like people to be able to know you and hear you more. Tell us about you.
If people want to do the energy work with me, I had do a freebie every Wednesday night at Shalom Free Clinic, which is at 1010 Mangrove behind Access Dental. And I do chakra balancing and little mini readings. Mm-hmm. So that's, as a Gemini, we have multiple personalities, and so energy worker is one of my personalities, as well as researcher and interviewer.
And I think a lot of the modalities that you and your guests were talking about last night, like meditation, are so important during this time of so much stress. You know, it's very, very hard when things get intense to stay current with your body and with the moment. And like you, as soon as I got on the line with you, you suggested a way for me to get my words straightened out and back. I mean, it's just, you know, it is very, very helpful, the work that you're doing.
Thank you. That's all of that is in the Calm, How to Thrive in Challenging Times book. And in the, there's also a book about calm parents and children, because especially moms, but dads too, have really been stretched to the breaking point trying to work at home and supervise the kids working online for school. It's just amazing that anybody's pulling through all this with their sanity intact. But you're right, it helps to have tools to stay centered and grounded.
And can you give us an example of something that our listeners could do right now for this type of calm or resilience?
Well, what I suggested to you is when we get stressed, we get what's called homolateral, and we want to have a bilateral body, which means the right side of the brain is connected to the left side of the body and vice versa. So a really easy tool that we can all do is cross crawl. And what that means is you touch opposite elbow to opposite knee, opposite elbow to opposite knee. And also a deep, long exhalation calms the parasympathetic nervous system, which is reactive. So if we're like, oh my God, no, then all you need to do is deep breath. So let's all do that. And a long exhale, like you're keeping a little feather up. So just doing cross crawls and long exhalations is something you can do, you know, at the supermarket. You don't have to be in a meditative room in front of an altar or something.
Right. When you get wound up. You know, I was wondering, you know, someone with your background, what has it been like to be part of the KZFR family, and how would you want to do a pledge pitch? I know you were doing them intermittently through your pre-recorded interview last night with a Nobel Prize winner, but it was incredible. Why don't you do a pledge pitch for us now, Gail Kimball?
What I think is our salvation, and this the Nobel Prize winner pointed this out yesterday, the problem is capitalism. And what the girls and the young women that I interviewed pointed out, the solution is a circular economy, where instead of extracting, you recycle. So what I love about KZFR is most of the people like Chris and me and Bo are volunteers. So I love the idea of community coming together. It's kind of like a cooperative where people come together. They all have input into policy, like through the KZFR board. So it has that feel of a community cooperative, which I think is going to save the planet. If we can do that kind of model of a circular economy.
Now that's a way I hadn't really thought of it before, but it is like a large family. I mean, when one of us gets sick or, you know, one of us has trauma, you know, it kind of pulls in all of us. I mean, things get hard or things get easy depending on, you know, the kind of general feel of that body politic of the station.
Right. You know, you mentioned our history. Can I mention two little memories that I have of you?
When sure.
We saved, I don't know if you remember this, but we were backpacking in the Trinity Alps, and our friend Suzanne slipped and fell, and she was skidding down a rocky, steep, mountain face. And as she whizzed by, we grabbed her and saved her from certain death or injury. So I figured Chris and I saved somebody's life. That was pretty wonderful.
That's funny, because I just want to tell our listeners, my memory from that trip was I didn't bring enough warm clothes coming from the valley. Sometimes you have no idea how cold it's going to be at night.
Right.
And our friend hypnotized me because she had those tools, and I was no longer cold. It was,
wow.
That was life-saving, too, for me.
Right. And then my other memory is you were the nurse when I had my pregnancy test. And my son's dad and I were there. Oh, boy, we found out we were pregnant. That was nice memory with you, too.
Yeah. And I, you know, my thoughts go out to all of the essential workers, all the nurses and care providers and people who do maintenance and everybody who has had such an incredibly difficult time over this last year. I feel like we're just climbing over this enormous hump, and I'm feeling so grateful for this for the vaccine. I know some people don't like the vaccine, but you know, for me as a fully immunized person, I am so grateful.
Yeah, it's the security, and it's just RNA. I think some people think that it has the virus in it, but it doesn't. It has just the RNA of one of the little spikes, so it's not going to give someone COVID.
Yeah, exactly. And thank you for saying that, too. Well, you know, I want to, again, urge people to go to the phone, 601-340-5937. And we are trying to get this this generator so that we can, you mentioned climate change and the children, the girls all over the world who are so concerned.
Right.
But you know, here at KZFR, we are trying to be proactive as best we can. We do use a lot of energy to run this station, and it is necessary for us to stay on the air to get this generator so that we'll be ready next fire season for the rolling blackouts that may occur in whatever else 2021 wants to throw at us. I mean, I think we've been through enough, but you never know what comes next. So we do urge people to be generous with us, and you know, think about in a week or so when you have that money in your account, you know, and give now if you can. Go to the website kzfr.org and click on that donate tab and just shower us with your love. We need you.
Or call 601-340-5937. Yeah, most of us are going to get a stimulus check, so let's use it for good.
Yeah, exactly. After you pay your rent and pay down your bills, you know, you'll be feeling a little more generous than you can this week. So, you know, unfortunately, our pledge drive comes right before that momentous thing. But, you know, if you can anticipate a little bit, that would be really, really helpful to us. Last words, Gail Kimball?
Thank you, Chris, for doing so much for the community and fighting for peace and against violence. You know, Gandhi said we need to be the change that we want to see, and you do it.
Well, thanks. Yeah, I have a little court date coming up. I, you know, it's so funny. I did civil resistance at city council chambers there were probably 20 of us lying around. And all I could see was these beautiful clouds above me, and I was so peaceful lying there. And so... How do you get a misdemeanor for lying and looking at clouds? It's sort of funny. Anyway, I love you, Gail. Thank you so much for being my guest today on the Peace and Justice program. I'll let you go.
Oh, my pleasure.
Sure.
Everybody give. KZFR.org.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. Bye, Gail.
Bye.
All right. So we have one more guest, and I'm very, very pleased for all my guests today. I'm so grateful, and thank you to you listeners who stayed with me through a kind of uneven show, because we've bounced around a lot, but I think we've gotten some content as well as very frequent pledge pitches, and I'm going to give you a little sweet honey in the rock now.
He was her only child. her baby boy. She was his second daughter, a father's pride and joy. Somebody's mother, brother, best friend, sister, lover. Maybe an A1 student running, hiding, taking cover. The women gather crying tears that fill a million oceans. It doesn't matter where you're living. The women gather crying tears that fill a million oceans.
People say, not in this neighborhood. It doesn't happen here. Our kids have everything. What do we have to fear? But what about the ones who say this happens every day? Drugs and violence take our children. How much more death can come our way?
The women gather crying tears that fill a million oceans. It doesn't matter where you're living. The women gather crying tears that fill a million oceans.
Don't you know? Some bullets find their targets. Bombs can take you right on cue. Some in the hands of babies or officials and their crew.
Claim the brother had a gun. She fit the profile in my book. Running, hiding, taking cover. Didn't take the time to look.
Somebody's mother, brother, best friend, sister, lover.
The women gather crying tears that fill a million oceans. It doesn't matter where you're living. The women gather crying tears that fill a million oceans. It doesn't matter where you're living. The women gather crying tears that fill a million oceans. It doesn't matter where you're living.
An intense song on a very intense topic. And I want to thank everybody who has given online. I am not seeing where it shows up on my phone. I'm terrible at technology, but I do appreciate it, and it has happened, and I will post it on the website after the show. We have a place where we archive the shows, and I want to thank Eileen, Orion, and Bill for generous donations, and also all of you who gave online. And I have on the phone with me someone who has become very, very important in my life, because I follow his words. I care about what he cares about, and that's Corey Hunt. He's a local artist and activist doing poetry and hip hop for many years. He became an off-site producer on KZFR on November 6th, and he's a regular contributor now. He does the first Friday show here on the Peace and Justice program. And I'm grateful to KZFR that KZFR policies were able to make it so we could have off-site producers and allow me to welcome this wonderful person to the airways on a regular basis, because these interviews have been like lifeblood. They are so so rich, and they're so grounded, and they're so humane and human. Thanks, Corey Hunt, for being with me today, by the way.
Thank you, Chris, for the kind words, and you know, it's always an honor and a pleasure to be of service to the community.
Yeah, and you know, that Sweet Honey song got me thinking about the way that I first met you, which was an interview that we did on September 11th, and it was about the police review ad hoc committee on the Chico police, and it was supposed to be about a review of their use of force. And it got derailed. Can you tell us about what that was about after the murder of George Floyd, and you know, kind of how things went up until that point?
Yeah, you know, as I look at it in my rearview, you know, I kind of wonder if it did get derailed, you know, and if if what happened wasn't necessarily actually the plan in the first place, as far as just, you know, putting on this theater of accountability without any actual works behind it, which was kind of the end result, unfortunately. And so, yeah, I was honored that the vice mayor at the time, Alex Brown, had invited me to be a part of the committee, but was very disheartened to see the structure that the mayor at the time had created as it unfolded with the agenda and everything, and just the excessive presence of power and the lack of presence of marginalized voices.
So today I read a Guardian article. It was focused on the death of Desmond Phillips, and it's a wonderful article. I'm going to post it as soon as I get home. But you're mentioned in there, and also Alex Brown is quoted. Can you tell us a little bit about what has happened since then with the Conservative Council?
Yeah, I mean, as most of us who are in Chico have noticed, when the elections came up, there was a Conservative PAC that, you know, just littered the town with promotions of these candidates that they had paid for. And it worked. Unfortunately, for some reason, citizens seemed to think that that was going to be a beneficial action. And since they have taken office, they have been just so abusive to the homeless people. And as far as accountability and any type of police reform has not even been on the table or mentioned anywhere that I have been able to notice. So the whole committee has just been, everything that was done there, which there wasn't much really done, has just been erased and not even mentioned since they have come into office, as they focus on just abusing anyone who can't find a way to get into a home.
Yeah, and during this time also, another unhoused individual, a campfire survivor with mental illness, you know, in crisis, was also killed by the Chico police. And so the whole idea of them looking at their use of force policies has really seems like it's gone nowhere. Do you care to comment?
Yeah, because we didn't get to look at it authentically in my perspective, and that's what I wrote in my conclusion of the committee and sent to council members and got no response. But I found it disgusting, you know, that we sat there and pretended like we were having an actual oversight of these use of force policies when the only people in there is police and laymen, and no one was brought for authentic outside observation to where we could actually make an informed decision by hearing what the police have to say for themselves, and then hearing what someone who's not connected to the city of Chico and their police department has to say about what they've been saying to either validate or push back against it. And so, you know, it was really unhealthy for me personally to even be involved and just see how difficult it is to address power. And in the meantime, while you're just trying to get basic rights, you know, acknowledged, then you're kind of abused yourself, and your own personal experiences are just dismissed as if they don't matter. You know, it was very difficult to do. So I understand why so few people get involved with such processes, but it's really important that more and more of us, you know, learn more and more about these things. So when conservative PACs that really just want to spread out luxury housing, put in council members and promote council members, we as a community are more informed to protect ourselves against such an action.
That's right, and I think that you're really right on there about what the end game is. Is there's two things that we have, and it's land and low land prices and water, and these are the these are the two things that these people want, and they're using human beings as political pawns and footballs for their games, and it's really reprehensible. You know, from that article I mentioned in The Guardian, I just had this one quote because I thought it was really important. It was I'm not familiar with this person, Alex Vitale, a professor of sociology and the author of The End of Policing. He says, Chico's abortive attempt at reform trotted a well-worn path of communities attempting attempting to further professionalize the police without taking a critical look at their core functions. In a place like Chico, where you have the criminalization of the homeless, police in charge of mental health responses, police doing traffic enforcement, harassing kids on street corners, doing all that in a more professional manner is besides the point. Police shouldn't be doing those things. And that's from theguardian.com. You can read that article. But it's true that we were failed by both a progressive and a conservative city council. And thus we see, you know, this thing moving forward. And it's really good that the community is coming together around these, you know, to protest these sweeps and to stand in the way of them and to support people who are standing up through civil resistance. Corey, I want to change subjects just for a second, because your show has been meeting with a lot of praise for the compassionate conversations you have in your sapient sessions, is what you're calling them. And I wanted to give you an opportunity to reach out to our listeners and to promote KZFR in whatever way you would like to.
Okay, yeah, sure. You know, when I was thinking about it, as I did my show last week, one of the biggest things I think we gain as a community from KZFR is the archive of all the shows. You know, there's episodes, backlogged episodes of so many different shows with so much great content, from, you know, the CNR with Cassidy and Ecotopia. You got Democracy Now! On a regular basis, this Peace and Social Justice show. And, you know, speaking directly to the Peace and Social Justice show, the fact that you saw me as an activist in the streets just trying to make a change, a regular Joe Schmo, and were able to lift me up and allow me to lift up the voices of local activists like Lisa Johnson and Allie Mitters-Knight, Murren Hambly, Lisa Currier, so many powerful people around our community doing wonderful things that need to be highlighted and our community educated on. Just the fact that you're able to do that is something that I think we as a community have a responsibility to invest in and support, because that's what we all are claiming that we want, is these avenues for marginalized people to be able to get their voices heard and make change. And so that in itself, I think, warrants, you know, especially those of us who have the financial capability, it warrants us to give that assistance and help such a powerful resource to our community.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so collaborative. I mean, you talked about resilience at the beginning of the program, and how we build resilience is through these roots that we have that spread through the community and unite us. And so I agree with what you're saying. And I hope that, you know, in this last minute I have, that people will go to the website, kzfr.org. What Corey said about the archives, they're posted there. You can just go to Friday, 11:30 to 1, and hear what Corey's show from last week, which was phenomenal. It was incredible. I got so much communication from people about it. And anyway, Jesse's on next week, and thank you to all my co-hosts. Thank you to you, Corey Hemphunt, for your hosting. I appreciate you very, very much. And thanks to all the people that have pledged during this pledge drive. And I hope we'll continue to pledge today for the music shows that they love. Thanks, Corey.
And thank you, Chris, for putting your body on the line, you know, for all these different causes, and just doing so much for our community and marginalized people. And personally, thank you for giving me this opportunity. This journey has been amazing, and everyone on the team has just been amazing as far as helping me get these productions to the people. You know, it's been a beautiful journey that I'm just been honored to be a part of.
Well, thank you. Thank you, and peace to you.
Peace to you.
All right, bye.
Bye.
All right. I want to thank our underwriters for the last thing I do here. I want to thank Quicksilver Courier Service, established in 2010. Quicksilver Courier Service has the flexibility to provide a broad range of delivery services. Quicksilver provides courier service for private individuals as well as for legal, medical, and business professionals.
Visit ChicoCourier.com for quality 24/7 delivery service. And by Tires Plus, complete auto repair in the heart of downtown Chico, offering Michelin and Cooper tires, alignments, oil changes, repairs, and maintenance. On the corner at 624 Broadway Street, open from 8:30 to 5 Monday through Saturday. Find Tires Plus Complete Auto Repair on Facebook and at 342-8338. Please stay tuned for Playing Dead and your Friday afternoon and evening here at your community radio station. Thank you again, everyone who pledged during Peace and Social Justice. And let's get to the community calendar right now.
Hey listeners, it's time for the KZFR 90.1 FM Community Calendar with me, Megan Hammer. Chico Performances has a new Chico Voices virtual series, which supports and highlights local talent. The next streaming concert event showcases talented Chico funk band, Smokey the Groove, at Laxon Auditorium. They have created a dancing journey that has been showing up all over the Pacific Northwest and beyond. Smokey the Groove's Chico Voices concert event will be available on demand through April 5th for a 48-hour rental. This can be found on the Chico Performances webpage, and tickets can be purchased for $5. If you are interested in horror films or scary movies, the Marion Park Drive-In is showing The Ring